Happy Wednesday, family. I just wanted to come and give you some great encouragement for the month of May. We are in not only a new day, but we are in a new month. We are in the fifth month of a new year. And we have to look at what the number five symbolizes. So we know that in the word, the number five represents God's grace, his mercy towards us, his love. And we know that his way is always the better way. So God has grace. His mercies are renewed each and every day. So each and every day, we are to get up, put on the full armor of God, continue to do what it is that he's told us to do or called us to do, and not only do it, but do it boldly. So I wanted to come to you today to give you a pep talk, the same talk that I literally just had with myself and God. And what I've realized is the reason, and this kind of piggybacks off of a change perspective, but this is your pep talk because it's serious. But I realized that in the midst of me trying to walk into this new journey, walk into this new space, this new thing that God is doing, I was inadvertently self-sabotaging. And I didn't even realize it. Because I realized that when you are called to a new height, when you are called to elevate and you go into heights that you've never been before, you walk in there trying to do things the way you did them before. And when you go up to a different floor and when you elevate in life, you have to have a new perspective. You have to have a new mindset. You have to have a new process. You have to do things differently. You can't walk into new doors doing what you did in old doors. You can't walk into new seasons doing what you did last season. You can't walk into this new month doing what you did last month. Because if we're real, if we look back over the last month, how did it work out for you? And if I'm being completely honest, I can say that my way, it never worked. And I went through a lot of failed things, realizing that I am not in control. I can't do what I know how to do. I have to let God do what God does. Let him be my leader. Let him be my father. Let him be God. Because I cannot trump what he says. But I can do the best that I know how to and partner with him to walk into this new door to be able to hold on and do things in a better way. Sometimes we look at, for instance, the theological thought behind like a cup half full. And some look at it as a cup half empty. So it's all about your perspective. It's about how you walk into this new place, that God is giving you. It's about how you steward what God has shown you, what he's told you. And sometimes, you know, everything that God says to you doesn't come to you at once. It takes time. But in the moment that you get that revelation about what God is saying to you, you apply it. And that's what I did. I said, you know what? Today's a new day. I can't walk until today holding on to things that didn't or did happen yesterday. I have to focus on the 24 hours that you've given me today. I have to focus on today because I don't know what's coming tomorrow. The day is still young. I have to be ready to fight the battle for today because if I'm missing what's happening today, I can't be prepared for tomorrow because I'm stuck on yesterday. I can't cry about yesterday's sorrow because today has its own problems. I have to be able to be equipped and face what comes today. And if I'm beat down, if I'm exhausted, if my tank is half empty or on E, how can I walk through today making right decisions? I can't because I'm tired, because I'm frustrated, or I'm still thinking about things that didn't go right yesterday. I'm thinking about something that happened yesterday, or I'm thinking about what could happen tomorrow because I'm so far ahead of myself or I'm so far behind that I can't focus on the right now. And this is your reminder to get focus, to focus your eye on what it is that God is calling you to do. Place your eyes on the Son. Continue to focus on him so that he can lead you through this journey, through this new door. This is a new month. You get a new day to do new things. Take today and sit down and go over. What I told myself is I'm going to go over things with a fine tooth comb now. I'm not going to just think it in my head or just remember it in my head. And honestly, I've been sitting here for the past week trying to plan things out, trying to get things out, trying to do this, trying to do that. And I'm just like, well, why haven't I done anything? I literally sat down and I couldn't put it together. But I realized because I was so distracted. Like I told you guys in the Throne Watts video, God is a God who will lead you and guide you. But the enemy, in the midst of that, when you decide to do what it is that God has called you to do, the enemy is not happy. So he throws things to you to distract you. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack your thoughts. He'll attack your friendships. He'll attack whatever he's allowed to attack. And I say allowed because he can't do what God doesn't allow. But in that, you have to also know that sometimes his attacks are not just an attack for an attack. It's a test. Because God wants to know, if I take this from you, will you still trust me? If I give you this but don't give you that, will you still trust me? If I put you in a lineup with people who you may consider comparing yourself to, will you still think that you have a blessed life because you don't have what the next person has to next to you on your left or your right? So it's all a test. And what I'm learning is I want to come out on top. I don't want to come out having to retake the same test over and over and over. And sometimes inadvertently, we walk into things thinking like, okay, I got this. And the whole time, we don't have it at all because we walked in this new space with the same perspective that we had for years, the same plans we had for years, which probably are things that haven't really succeeded in years. But because that's all we know, that's what we walk in with. And after time after time after it doesn't go the way we say or we think, we get bummed and we wonder, well, God, why would you do this? But sometimes it's a matter of us. We got to change not only our perspective, but we got to change the way we do things so that we can come up a little higher to be able to do what it is that God has called us to do. Think about each and every time that in the Bible God called somebody. It always came with a sacrifice. That person had to give up something. Think about Abraham. He was about to sacrifice his son. And even though he didn't physically give up his son, he had to give up fear. You know what kind of faith it takes to lay your son down and say, you know what? I'm going to give this son back to God. And I don't know how it's going to come back to me, but I know that God is a man that he shall not lie. I know that he knows what it was like not being able to have a son. I got to give up something that was once a promise in one season. Now it's a sacrifice in another. Come on, you got to let go of fear and grab onto faith. Abraham is a great example of that. Because we think about Sarai and Hagar. How did they go from trying to create the promise in their own way, birthing Ishmael, and then the promise is here, and then God says, okay, I gave you the promise. I promised it to you. Now I want you to sacrifice it and give it back to me so that I can give you another promise. In real life, let's be real. It's like, God, what you doing? What's going on? What? But Abraham had to overcome fear. And like I said, when you may not have all the pieces in the time that you're going through it and you're walking through it, you may not know. But when God gives you that revelation of what he wants you to do and you fully know, you have to be willing to say, I'm going to go up to that mountain and sacrifice whatever it is God is telling me to sacrifice. And I know that I'm going to walk up there with it. And God's will, I'm going to come back down with it. Because to know what to do and not do it is a sin. So it's different if you don't fully know. But in that, you don't get a pat on the back because you have to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to search it out. I'm going to seek it out. I'm going to find. I'm going to ask. I'm going to knock. And it shall be given. It should be open. The answers will come. And I'm a living testimony of that. God will answer you. You just have to be willing to hear him. Calls out the distractions. There's things that I was sitting down yesterday going over. I'm like, well, God, this didn't make sense. What you meant by this? And okay, I understand that, but I don't get this part. You got to keep searching it out until it makes sense. And sometimes it takes years and months and weeks. But the moment you get that revelation about whatever it is that you need, you take it and you apply it because that's when it is going to be the most important. It matters in that moment because this is the time that you were supposed to get that revelation. So you can't go in today with a revelation that you got from yesterday and not apply it. Because once you come into today with yesterday's revelation, you have a new day. You get to do things differently because you have a new revelation of what God wants you to do. Don't walk into today knowing what God told you yesterday and not do it. Don't walk into today worrying about tomorrow, but not applying what you learned yesterday. Every day that we get to live on this earth is a lesson. You learn something each and every day. And as a person, you should, because we are people who should be growing. We're like trees. We start off as seeds. We start off as embryos. I think that's how you say it. You know, implanted. We start off implanted in our mother's uterus, in our womb, in her womb. We start off very small. Then we sprout up. And we grow and grow and grow. And our mother is feeding us. Just like the soil feeds the trees and the roots. And we were rooted in our mother's womb. We're attached to her. She carries us. She nurtures us. She loves us. And when it's time for us to come out into this world, we're learning. We're watching what we see. We're picking up habits and monitoring the things around us because we're innocent. So we grab onto that. So every day we're learning something new. We're learning how to walk. We're learning how to talk. We're learning how to think. We're learning how to learn. We're learning. Every day you're learning. It doesn't stop because you're grown now. You consistently learn. That's what it is to be a human. You should learn something every day, even if it's something so simple as going over something with a fine-tooth comb, being more open, being more trustworthy. Like I said, and every time that God called somebody in the Bible, they had to give up something for a better reward. And Abraham did that. What was once a promise in one season, God is coming back and saying, now I want you to sacrifice it to me. Will you trust me with it? Will you trust that this is still your promise, even when I'm telling you to let it go? Think about Noah in the ark. Noah had to sacrifice his time and the things he wanted to do to do what God's told him to do to prepare for something that's coming long down the line. And it's just like, kind of, for me, it makes me think about the fact that Jesus is going to return one day. And every day we get to live, that day is closer and closer. We don't know the hour, nor the time, but just know he will return. It may not be today or tomorrow or next year or next week, but as we keep going, the time is winding down. So get serious about what God wants you to do, because I don't want you to perish. I don't want to perish. We got to get serious and stop worrying about what people think and be a pleaser of God. We got to get serious about our walk with Christ. And you do your walk the way God intended you to do it. Don't worry about this person and that person, because their walk is not your walk. What I'm learning is in that lineup, when it comes time for judgment, we're all going to be accounted for ourselves. I can't walk in your shoes and you can't walk in mine. I can't account and speak for you and say, well, God, she meant good. God, she tried. No, God's not going to hear my speech about you. Technically, he ain't going to hear my speech about myself. He don't want to hear no excuses. Because the know what to do and not do it is a sin. So when God gives us the knowledge and the blueprint, he expects us to apply it. So how are you applying it to your life? Because the things of this world will one day not matter. You can't take it with you. So focus on the things that matter. You growing matters. Who you surround yourself with matters. Who is attached to you matters. Because let me tell you something. A lot of times we can't get where we're going because we're carrying the wrong people. So what? People are going to be offended because you let them go. God told you to. He's been telling you for years. But because we're worrying about people pleasing, we disqualify God's word. And we dishonor God because we're honoring ourselves and people. We want people to feel good, but that's okay, because when you're around people who don't have your best interests, you don't feel good around them. So you're sacrificing your own happiness to please somebody else, but you're displeasing yourself and you're displeasing God. And when you look at it in that aspect, you have to ask yourself, make it make sense? And that's what I did. I had to literally say, God, make this make sense. Why am I trying to hold on to people who never had my best interests at heart? Who literally were sent into my life to dim my light, literally. But you have to apply that to your life. Because you can't account for nobody else. You can only account for you. And if you have not decided to say, you know what, God, I'm all in, now is the time. No more procrastinating. No more lukewarmness. Be in it or not. Because God is not pleased with somebody who's lukewarm. Either you're cold or you're hot. But I would prefer you be hot for God and cold against the world. be a person who walks with God regardless. You're going to lose some people along the way. I seen this thing yesterday where this young lady, I guess she was losing followers on Instagram because she decided to go boldly for Christ. I've lost followers on Instagram. I don't care. I've lost people in real life. Let's start there. Forget Instagram. That's not real. Let's talk about the people I've lost in real life. The friendships that I've had for years that now we're just distant friends because that's what had to happen. Let's talk about the things I've lost in this world. I had to let go of my corporate job, a place where I tried for so long to get into, and I finally got there thinking I was going to be there a few more years longer, and God said, nah, it's over. Your time is up. Come do what I'm calling you to do. You know what kind of sacrifice that takes? And I'm sorry if you're tired of hearing it, but I want you to know how real this is. It's not peaches and creams out here. It's hard. It's real. A lot of things in this world in 2024 is fake. It's fabricated. It's not real. You log on social media, everything that is taking our attention and distraction and distracting us is lies. Have you ever thought about that? Half of the stuff that's being shared on the news ain't the whole truth. A lot of the truth is not being shared. The things we see on social media, we look at a glimpse of a picture of somebody smiling for 2 seconds, thinking that their life is better than ours. When really, in detail, we don't know what they're going through. We judge our lives based off of a quick photo that's posted online. And we assume that people are really happy. This is real life. And I think because of like the pandemic and everything, we have really been desensitized to, we're still living in a real world, you guys. Like, life is still real. Life is so different from what it used to be. I was thinking the other day about how, like, dang, everything is so convenient for us. Everything is, you can get things delivered to your front door without having to leave. You know what that says? Like, you can literally be at home in the house and okay with it. And I look around, like, sometimes, like, we get notices on our door about, like, just little events and things coming up at my home or whatever, at the apartments. And I, like, this is one house that I pass by every day. Because I'm making my business to get out of this house, okay? I can't sit in here in four walls because that's going to drive me crazy. Now, when it comes to a point where God is like, you know, you need to sit down, I'm going to sit down. But I go for drives when I can, for the most part, because I'm like, I don't have to sit in the house all day with my thoughts. Because then you feel like the walls start closing in on you. You're like, whoa, I'm sitting here in quiet with my thoughts, and my thoughts ain't good and all of this stuff. But I drive out, and for the last month, I think, I've seen like this envelope about a notice that we got about our porches. Like, they did like patio suites or whatever. And I'm like, okay, that notice came out like a month ago. It's still sitting on someone's door. So that tells me one or two things. Either, okay, they're just gone out of town, which I doubt. Or they're in the house, but they never leave. They're working from home. They're watching TV. They're playing the game. They're cooking. They don't eat out. Like, or they getting DoorDash. Like, it just tells me that that person rarely leaves their home. I'm like, to think about that is crazy. You never leave your house? Or it could just be that they do. But I would think that if a person opens their door at some point, they're going to take that off. And I know there's somebody in there because at nighttime, the lights are on and stuff. So I'm like, you literally just don't leave your house. Do you know what kind of society that creates? People who sit in walls and just sit with themselves and scroll on Instagram and compare themselves and scroll. And even with YouTube, because I'm like, dang, the other day I was realizing, I'm like, dang, I be on YouTube more than I be on anything now. Just watching little videos and watching this and watching that. I'm like, the distractions are everywhere, you guys. And it comes to a point where we have to get serious. Excuse me, my voice went out, but we have to get serious about what God is calling us to do, because life is short-lived. Like, we don't have all the time we think we have. Regardless of the sun returns today or tomorrow, your life may not be guaranteed. And I think sometimes we walk and take things for granted. The very small things, that the fact that we get to get up and breathe life is very important, because there's somebody today that didn't get to see May 1st of 2024. I could think of a few people in my life alone who didn't get to live to see this day, but you're still here. So that means God is not finished with you. God is not finished doing what he wants to do in you so that you can do what it is that God calls you to do for other people. Because sometimes, and hear me out, just sometimes it's not just about you. It's about sacrifice. So you have to give up the idea of what you want for yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to die to my flesh each and every day and continue to pick up my cross and follow God to do what it is he called me to do for myself, to be in the kingdom of God, to help other people. So the self-sacrifice that you have to do is surrender. Give up the will and the plans that you have for yourself and follow God's plans, because his plan is to give us a future of hope. Not for today, but forevermore. Future means long term. For every day that we continue to move forward, there is a future and a hope in that day. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that, because I can testify. 4 months out of a job, and it's been the hardest thing of my life. And I'm going to keep talking about it, because there's a lot of people on Instagram, on YouTube, on TikTok, on Facebook, fabricating the life that God's called us to. Or fabricating the fact that, you know, they don't have a job and it's just been so peaches and cream. I'm here to tell you, that ain't always the truth. It's different if you had time to set up a plan for yourself. But sometimes, and a lot of times, all of the time, God doesn't give you time to plan. His plan trumps your time to plan. And like I said, when I got the revelation of what God wanted me to do, literally that was like a Friday. That Monday was the day that I was returning to work, the day that I was supposed to put in my notice. I got a few days to cry it out. God said, get it out, but I want you to do what I told you to do. And if you do not do it, my will is still going to happen, but you're going to be even more hurt, because I'm going to pull you from that job. And it may not be in the simplest way, but that's because you disobeyed me. You want to go through that? You want to go through just being forced out of something versus submitting and saying, you know what, God, I'm gonna do it your way. And I'm going to tell you, I've done it that way before. I talk about it all the time. My apartment a couple years ago, God had already told me, you're not staying here. You're moving. Pack up. And I said, no, I'm not, because this is what I can afford. I can't afford $1,200. I pay $700 in rent. I had a newborn. This works for me. Because that gave me a lot of cushion to do other things that I needed to do. I disobeyed God, and I still ended up moving. And it was a hard thing for me. I struggled with it because I was disobedient. And God said, I tried to help you. But sometimes we think we're God, and we think we know it all. But I'm here to tell you, you're not God. You don't know it all. And even if God has given you everything, you only prophesy in part. You don't have all the answers. It's only going to really make sense until once it plays out. But in order for you to see it play out, you got to see it through. So I just want to give you a pep talk, because, baby, time is real. We don't have all the time in the world that we think we do. We don't. And that's on both sides. Your life and the time that, you know, the sun's going to return. You don't know when that's going to happen. So you have to live every day like it's your last, and live to the fullest and be bold to do what God's called you to do, because there is going to be a time when we have to account. And I want God to say, good job, my faithful servant. Well done. I want to hear that. I don't want to be standing there thinking that, oh, I'm just doing what God called me to do the whole time. And God says, get away from me. I never knew you. That's the hardest thing. What? You never knew me. I know you. You know how good it's going to feel to know that God knows you by name? We know that now. Think about Mary Magdalene. He calls you by, I think about The Chosen, in that episode where he calls you by name. When that episode happened, if you have not watched that, one of my coworkers put me onto that show and I watched it. I haven't finished it yet because, I don't know, something happened with my account with Peacock, and then it was like, I don't know, they started doing like some changes and then I couldn't log in. So lo and behold, but I started watching it. And it was really good. But that first episode, it gave me chills. Because I'm like, ooh, can you imagine how great it is to know that the God that created the universe, who created the world, who created you and me, who created generations, knows you by name. He knows your full name. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows your imperfection. He knows the true desires of your heart. He knows your inside and your out. He knows what you're thinking before you think it. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. He knows before you know. He knows you better than the people who birthed you, who brought you into this world by, you know, God's creation, your parents. God knows you better than your parents. God knows you better than you. Isn't that crazy to think, like, how is there a God that knows me that well? That's amazing to me. So I do my best to make him proud because all of this don't matter. Like the word says, you don't fight up against flesh and blood, but you come up against principalities and people in high places. And you go up against people who aren't for you doing the will of God. So anybody that comes up against you doing the will of God, you rebuke them just like Jesus did. When he told him, I would get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, get behind me because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I'm sorry if that doesn't, no, I'm not sorry if it doesn't please you. I'm sorry for you that it doesn't please you. But you know what, you guys, as a person who's been a people pleaser for a majority of my whole life, I can finally say it feels good to do what God's called me to do. I had to die to pleasing myself. I had to die to pleasing people, my family, my friends, teachers, coworkers, employees. And that was hard because when I left Bank of America, that was a struggle. I had all kind of warfare about it. But I stood my ground and I did what I said I was going to do because God called me and he told me what it was going to be if I didn't. I still was going to be gone. Still was going to leave, but there's a difference in being submitting and doing his will, and there's a difference in being forced out. I don't want to be forced out again. I know what that's like, to be disobedient and have consequences. Like I said, even with my son, I knew that my son's father and our relationship was over, but I continued to stay in it. And because of that, I birthed something out of sin, but God turned that sin into a good thing. But every day I was reminded of, had I just been obedient? But everything happens for a reason, and God knows what we're going to do before it happens. And we don't know, but God knows. And he turns around what the enemy intends for evil. God turns it and uses it for our good. And I'm to this day very thankful that I went through everything that I've gone through because I know now that I get to do life with my son. I don't have to be alone because I didn't know I was going to be stripped from a bunch of friends. I didn't know I was going to be pulled away from a lot of family members. I didn't know my dad was going to die and be killed right after I graduated high school. I didn't know I wasn't going to have a relationship with my mom. I didn't know the people that I did life with wouldn't be here to do life with my son. I didn't know that I was going to do life with just me and God. I didn't know. But God knew. He prepares the way for us. He will literally prepare you for everything he has for you. You got to tune in. So this is the talk that I gave myself because it's real out here, y'all. This ain't fairy tale. This is our lives and it's real. So get serious about what God is telling you to do. Get serious. Forget what he's telling you to do for this moment. For those of you who don't know, your starting part is to get serious about God. Surrender your life to him. Repent and turn away from your sins because he's waiting for you. He's not going to stop searching for you. Like I say all the time, he leaves the 99 to get the one. He's looking for you. He's searching for you. Leave everything behind and follow him. And it's okay because we look at Peter and we know Peter ran back to what he knew. We look at the one man who he told him, you know, leave your father to bed, leave the dead to bed, the dead. And follow me. Look at the man who he told, leave, sell all your jewels and leave all your things behind and follow me. Are you going to be that one that follows him and leave everything behind? Even if you lose it all, you know that God got you because you're a follower of him. And what God gives unto you does not bring sorrow. And what's coming is better than what you left. Sorry, I got tongue twisted. What you lost is going to be better. It's going to be better. What you lost doesn't compare to what's coming because what's coming and what's ahead brings joy and excitement. And you won't even care about what you lost because when you realize that you had to lose a lot of things that weren't even beneficial to you, you were settling and being saved. And God says, I'm going to call you out and I want you to be bold. I want you to dive deeper. And I told you guys that for me, that's what God was telling me. I want you to dive deeper. I've cried like almost on every episode that I've uploaded or got teary eyed. I don't do that in real life. I'm learning, I do it now. I can do that with a bunch of people who I've never met. But that's because I'm okay with how I feel. My feelings are valid, but just because I feel a certain way doesn't mean that I have to be led off those feelings. It's okay to feel. It's okay to cry and mourn things. But just like God told Samuel, how long are you going to keep mourning over Saul? I'm dethroning him, and I want you to go down and anoint Jesse's son David to be king. Get up out of that bed and prepare for what I told you to do. Stop mourning. You've mourned enough. Let's think about, you better thank God he gave you the time to mourn, because of a lot. He told him, don't mourn your wife. So be thankful for the life that God has given you, and be grateful for it. And just tunnel in on what it is that he's told you to do. Be bold with it. I don't care what he's telling you to do. I don't care if he's telling you to forgive that person. I don't care if he's telling you to call that person, love that person through whatever, be there for somebody, to, you know, reach out to somebody, to go back over your childhood trauma, to go to therapy, to start figuring things out, to start getting better with your finances, to go out and network, to go out, to be available to date, whatever. And you guys, sometimes we as people, we overcomplicate things. Let's start there. Okay. Cause I thought I was finished, but you know what? Lead, Holy Spirit, okay? Sometimes we overcomplicate things. Like, seriously. Sometimes we be thinking, oh, God want me to go out here and literally move this mountain. Whole time, God is just saying, get outside the door and I will move the mountain. But you need faith, size of a mustard seed, for me to do it. I need you to believe. Do you believe? Telling you, read Matthew 9, the whole thing. And it's a question. Do three words, one message. Do you believe? It's a yes or no. And if the answer is yes, and you know that, you stand on it. So you what you do is you stand up and you say, okay, God, I'm going to go. Will you go and stand in the gap for whatever God is calling you to do? For whoever God is calling you to do, even if it's something for yourself. Because in that, you're getting set free from something that's been holding you bounded for a long time. Sometimes we overcomplicate it and we get in our head and we get in our excuses and our reasons of why God can't do it or why you can't do it. I can't face this person after so many years. They hurt me. They did this to me. They took something from me. They, you know, whatever it was, but you got to let it go. Release that past, because let me tell you something. I was sitting here the other day and I got something so simple. I told you guys, God uses everything. And that's why I said we got to stop putting God in the box. If you have not listened to that message, go check it out. For You I Will is one, a good one that I released earlier on in the year. And the other one was Out of the Box? In the Box? But I talk about how we put God in the box because we think that the places where we think God is, and he's actually there. He shows up in there and he speaks to us. He shows us what it is that he wants us to do. But because we disqualify the place where he's at, we don't want to go. We don't want to go to the darkest, deepest sides of the city because, oh, God ain't there. God's everywhere. He created this. Even in the darkness, he's light. Come on. So we got to stop overcomplicating what God has called us to do and just stand up and say, you know what? Ask yourself, do I believe? And if your answer is yes, today, not tomorrow, not today, before May 1st, 2024 ends, or whatever day you're listening to this, whatever day you hear this is the day God wants you to do what it is that he's called you to do. Stand up. Ask yourself, do I believe? And if it's a yes, you go. And honestly, if it's a no, this is what you do. You still stand there and you pray and you ask God, what is stopping me from believing that I can do this? What is stopping me from forgiving this person? What is stopping me from letting go of this job? What is stopping me from letting go of these expenses that I can't carry on my own because you've been told me to downsize my home and get another home, or downsize and get another car? Like, what is it? Or even if it's elevating from something smaller to something bigger, because let's be real, that's hard too. When you're struggling and you're trying to make it, paying a small bill, and then God says, okay, I want you to go get a new car. And you're like, huh? I'm barely making a car on this note. How am I going to afford something better? But you remember that time when you didn't figure it out. God gave you a way out. And that's my story. I told you guys, it's something simple, but we make it so complicated. Here I was with my car being paid off, thinking I'm going to have that extra money to put aside, $300, to sit aside every month. And God said, nope, I want you to go get a bigger car. And today I'm thankful for that car because I'm like, I don't know what God could have been protecting me from. Because out of the blue, my car just started acting funny. And I had just got everything fixed on it. Where they do that at? And I was like, God, I can't get a new car. I can't afford a new car. I don't even know about my credit's so shot. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get approval. Let me tell you something. Got a pre-approval with a better rate than any dealership would give me with the credit I had. I went to one dealership and was literally slapped in the face. Not literally, but that's what it felt like. That man talked so down on my car. He talked so down on, like, oh, what you want doesn't exist. And let me tell you, I'm a living testimony of what I wanted or what God told me I could get. I got at a better price. So you got to let go of what you want and how you see it and get the thing. And sometimes the thing shows up looking just like what God promised you. I told you guys, I went to the dealership, same as that car I have today. More miles, more money. I waited it out. It took me about a month. I'm going to be real. It took me about a month. I was using my sister's car. And I ended up finding a car at a better price, less miles. By myself, when I knew in real life on paper, I shouldn't have qualified for no car at this rate. But that's what God's favor does. That's what his obedience does. Had I would have been disobedient and I say, Lord, I'm not getting no new car. I'd have been broke down on the side of the road without a car. And then maybe my credit wouldn't have been as decent. So I could have probably got a decent car, but it would have been a little harder. I probably would have still got the same deal, but it probably would have took a little bit more because I was disobedient. That's how simple it is. You have to say yes or no. Am I going to trust God or am I not going to? And if you say no, I don't believe God, then you don't sit back down. You stand up and you invite God in and you say, Lord, what is stopping me from trusting that you can do this for me? What is stopping me from trusting that I can do this? Because sometimes it's not about what God can do. It's about we don't even think we can do what God qualifies us to do. So don't overcomplicate things. Whatever God is telling you to do, it's simple. That text message, that call, simple. That house visit, show up anyway. Oh, I don't want to pop up at their house. Pop up. I don't want to call them. I ain't talked to them in years. Call them. I don't want to unfollow these people. Unfollow them. I don't want to have to block them. That's my mama. I don't care. God doesn't care about who it is. If they go against God's will for you, God's going to call you from them. I'm telling you real life stuff. This ain't nothing that I'm reading from a book. This is my life. And sometimes we think that titles matter. Titles don't mean nothing to God. If a person is in darkness or a person goes up against the will of God for your life and is going to sabotage you from doing what God's calling you to do, he's going to separate you from them. He don't care who they are. Because let's be real. God's will is all that matters. His purpose is what matters. And you're not going to do life alone. God's going to give you one person, two people, three. You're going to go through life and you're going to look back and you're going to say, Lord, I didn't realize it at first, but now I'm grateful for what you've done for me. Your grace was enough. You're enough. I hope y'all can hear me over these people outside because, see, that's just the enemy. Now, they out here playing this music, but I'm going to keep talking because somebody needs to hear this. I'm almost 40 minutes in. I wasn't planning on doing this, but this is how serious it is because, like I said, time is short-lived. You don't know when the hour is going to come. And I want you to be in that number because you were obedient and you've given your life to Christ and say, you know what, God, regardless of how I did it in the past, and it doesn't look like perfection, you guys, because a lot of times we think that, oh, God can't use me. He can use you, even if it's just giving your life to Christ. Posting, like, I seen a girl I went to high school with. She posted her being baptized, her beach baptism. And I was so happy for her because I'm like, see, it's something simple as that. Something that she did for herself. It impacts other people because people see that. And it takes a step to be bold for in this day and age for Christ. She posted it and didn't care what people said. She didn't care how many likes she got. She posted it as a declaration to say, you know what? I've given my life to Christ. And I'm encouraging you that you can do it too, because I'm posting this to let you know that I've done it. So if I've gone through what I've gone through, you can do it. And like I said, I told my friend the other day, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm pretty sure that she's gone through that she doesn't talk about. But I'm proud of her for who she is. She gets up every day and she tries to do it. It's hard being you. It's hard being me. But that's okay because nobody can't do it better than you. And God will guide you into who you're supposed to be. He'll lead you. Let him guide you. Don't keep overcomplicating it. It's simple. Whatever you need to do, release, let go, surrender. That's the first thing. Surrender it. God calling you from your friendships, let them people go. They didn't mean you no good in the first place. God calling you from that relationship with that girl or that man, let it go. And y'all, again, this is my life. It's hard. How do you go from thinking you're going to be with a person for the rest of your life to God saying, he was never it. But I allowed it because that's what you wanted. But now look, you're in this relationship that doesn't feed you. And you went in being healed from one bad relationship. Come on. Being healed from a bunch of trauma, toxicness, and just things that would literally suck the life out of you. Going into from healing to that. And as soon as I got out of that and I let that go, here comes this other person. I'm thinking, oh, this the person God has for me. And God said, no, baby. I didn't have that for you. But that's what you wanted, so I let you choose because it's about choices. God gives us a choice. He doesn't force anything on us. We can make a choice, but God's will is always going to stand tall. What he said is always going to come back and be fulfilled. It's never going to come void. It's going to still fulfill itself. Sometimes we determine how long that takes. Think about the Israelites in the promised land. They still got there. But look how long it took them because they were obedient, disobedient, and complaining, and moaning, and groaning. Don't be like them. You've gone through enough. You've settled enough. You've played small enough. It's time to play big. It's a new day in a new year. Get up and do what it is God told you to do. Prepare for what God has shown you. That promotion, that business, that friendship, better people coming to prepare. Because you can't walk into new doors having the same mindset you had with the old people you used to hang out with. You got to elevate. You got to support the people the way you want to be supported. You got to clap for people even when you can't clap for yourself. Elevation comes when you're elevated. You got to come up higher. You got to do more to get what God is calling you to get. Because if not, you'll walk through those doors and you'll start self-sabotaging because you didn't prepare, and it's going to be a hard reality because honestly, that's for me. Like I said the other day, I broke down in tears just watching a simple TV show, and it showed me that that's what I've been doing this whole time, self-sabotaging. Because I don't feel qualified enough to be in this position. I don't feel like I deserve God's grace. I don't feel like I deserve God's sovereignty over my life because I'm not perfect. I don't always do what God tells me to do. I don't always forgive as fast as I should. The trauma that I've experienced with family and my parents and all my dad's death and my mom, I still struggle with that. But you know what? I had to say, you know what? I had to stand up and I had to release it and I had to forgive each and every person that intended evil against me, who used me, who lied on me. To this day, people still talking, lying. People who I don't even deal with. Having conversations about me because it's easier to talk about somebody else who you don't even have connection with no more because it takes the heat off of them. Misery loves company. Don't be their company. I can't sit with you in misery no more because I'm not miserable. I'm genuinely internally happy. I'm not out here faking it no more. I'm not forcing a smile. Yes, this life is hard. Yes, this journey is hard, but I wake up and I remind myself every day that I have so many things to be grateful for. And in the midst of my groaning and complaining and, oh, you should just let me keep my job. And, oh, I should have just never did this and I never done it. And I should have. That's what the enemy does. He comes in and he makes you think you could have done it better. You did exactly what God told you to do. You did exactly what God knew you were going to do. Nothing comes to a surprise. It's God. He knows you were going to make that mistake. He knows you weren't going to fully play big. He knows you were going to play small. But that's okay because in that, it allows God to show up and do a miracle in your life. It allows God to turn those tables in your favor. Don't sleep on the mistake because that's where God shows up. You made a bad decision. It's a lesson. It's not your life. You're not a failure. You learned from it. And the world will tell you, because you don't live up to what the American dream is or what America calls successful, you're not successful. But if you don't have God in your life, you are not successful. You don't know love if you don't have God. If you don't have God and you're out here successful, you're not successful. If you're doing anything and you don't have God, you don't have anything, because without God, you have nothing. So I ain't gonna yell at y'all no more. But this is why I can give it to you, because this is the same way God gave it to me. And this is the conversation that we were having with each other. This is the conversation I had to wake up this morning and say, you know what, God? I made some mistakes. I did try to self-sabotage and I didn't even know it. Because in the midst of God saying, I see it in you. I know who I called you to be. Sometimes we look in the mirror, we don't see that person. Sometimes we look at other people and we're like, well, God, why you called them? Like I tell you guys, it wasn't a three-way call when God calls you. He calls you. He didn't call your family members and have a meeting and say, you know what, I want your approval for this person. No, they're not going to approve of you. I was listening to something, and I'm going to finish with this. I was listening to something last Sunday at church because they talked about people-pleasing, and I broke down because I'm like, this is me. Here I am talking about, I don't care about what people think, and I do, or I did, past this, because now I don't care. That's why I can get on here and cry. I can get on here and be myself, because I'm okay, and I'm comfortable with who I am, and I'm growing. And in order for me to elevate and do something different, I have to come out and be something different. I have to be emotional. I have to be who God's called us to be. We're humans. We're supposed to have feelings. I don't be led by those feelings. Let's be clear. We keep our feelings intact because we know that the Bible says do not be led by your heart, because the heart is deceitful. Your feelings are deceitful. Maybe your feelings are valid, but that don't give you the right to make a decision out of feelings. That's not right. Be led by God, not your feelings and not your flesh. So it's okay that you messed up, because God comes in and he takes that eraser on that pencil and he erases the mistakes. He removes those marks and blemishes that we created in ourselves and makes us whole again. Because if you're perfect, God can't use you because you're God. Little G. Okay. He can't use you because you already feeling like you high and mighty, but the high and mighty will fall because you're not God, baby. So I just want you guys to get serious and know that time budgeting is better than anything. Get serious about what it is God's calling you to do, because one day you won't have that chance to. So sorry for yelling at you guys, but this is serious. This is something I had to realize, and I had to wake up today with a new mindset and say, you know what? I'm going to go after every single thing God has told me to do. And I'm going to do it regardless of who talking. I'm going to do it regardless of what I say, regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I see. I'm going to go after everything, every person who's supposed to be set free, every business I'm supposed to do, every podcast I'm supposed to post. You think it's easy for me sitting here telling you guys this? Nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to hear the truth. I didn't want to hear it. But when you get serious about it, you start saying, you know what, God, you're talking to me. So, again, I hope you guys can hear me over these people outside. But I'm not worried about them. And see, that's what happens when you start getting focused. You don't worry about the distractions. When you have peace inside of the chaos, you know God's with you. Because the old me, I would have just paused this and maybe I would have went in the bathroom, or maybe I would have waited. Nope, I'm not doing that. It don't have to be perfect. If you hear them, don't worry about it. Tune them out and focus on what I'm saying. That's what happens when you get vision and you get focus. So let's get focused today. Today is the first day of a new month and a new day. Start now. From the moment you play this, see it through and start. Stand up and ask yourself, do I believe? And it's okay if the answer is yes or no. If the answer is yes, then you take that step out of the door and you release whatever God's telling you to release and do what God's telling you to do. And I know it's something small, because the first step is surrendering. And then you do and go wherever God has called you to go and do whatever God's telling you to do. If the answer is no, you stand there and you ask, what is stopping me from believing that you can do this, God? Is it me or is it you? Or maybe it's a faith thing. Listen to that God faith one that I posted. Because sometimes it's just a faith thing. Sometimes it's you don't trust God because you don't trust yourself. Or you trust in people and they hurt you. But God's not people. And his way is sometimes going to be different from what you think. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong. You thought it was going to go that way. Nobody ever told you it was going to happen that way. And you got to change your perspective, because sometimes our perspective stops us from doing what God calls us, because we think it's supposed to go one way. Like, oh, God, it's a promised land. Why does it feel like this? You crying out like the Israelites. And that's okay, because we think that, oh, freedom looks different because we have this perspective that was created. You thinking that it's going to happen this way because that's what was painted. But God said, I never told you that. I never told you it was going to get easier. It gets that much harder because you decided to get serious. And just like in this instance, I'm sitting here recording. It's been quiet this whole time. The dog started growling and barking at them. They outside talking all loud, playing music. I could have got upset. I could have got distracted. Could have got frustrated and said, you know what, I'm going to do this later. But I said, nope. Because that's how the enemy comes in. And it's that simple thing that you say, well, I'll do this later. Thinking you have time. You don't have any. Get focused and get serious. Most importantly, I love you, but God loves you more. Continue to be grateful, because everywhere that God's taking you is so gorgeous. Remain grateful for everything, because you are living in so many answered prayers and you don't even realize it. So I will talk to you guys on the next episode. Bye.